You've heard the word of the Lord from John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. We bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus, who is truly your best and truest friend, and mine, dear loved ones of Alberta Childs, surely God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. There is so much that we cannot see because our view, even out front, is diminishing. As some of you have noticed, the numbers getting smaller, things harder to read, harder to see. It is what it is, but behind us, there's so much more behind us as the years go on that maybe much of it just ought to be forgotten. Paul said that, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Yeah, that flaming persecutor of Christians became the Lord's missionary to the non-Jews, to us Gentiles. Mysterious ways. Amazing. So there is much that we can't understand, and many of these things God in his great mercy just reveals to us because he can see on the other side the spiritual world that exists on the other side of the physical, which is all that we can see. Jesus said in John chapter 5, Amen, amen, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He is not going to come into judgment, but has crossed over from death to life. Miracle you can't see. But Jesus is saying so clearly, when someone comes to believe in him, they cross over from death on this side to life that goes on forever. That's the joy of it. When someone comes to believe in Jesus, their eternal life begins. And that soul goes on living according to God's promise. The promise of him who came to suffer and die for all. Whether they curse his name or bless his name, he died for all. And he wants all to trust in him and receive everlasting life, to cross over from death to life. Our dear sister, loved one, Alberta, crossed over from death to life when she first heard God's name in the word-powered water of baptism. 2 weeks after she was born, February 23rd, 1930. And according to his promise, the way he uses those words in the name of, similar to the way we title cars and houses in our name or your family name, it's important to you. God's name is his reputation as the Savior God. When he put his name on that child, she became his own. And his mysterious ways were continuing through her life as he guards and guides each of us who trust in him, onward and upward to glory. Mysterious? Most certainly. But that is the way the Lord works, and what he says then through, again, the Apostle Paul. He wrote 13 letters in the New Testament. But this is what he says about the kindness and love of God toward mankind. When it appeared, he saved us, not by righteous works that we did ourselves, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth. That's born again. Through the born again washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that having been justified by his grace, undeserved love, unearned, justified by his grace, we might become heirs in keeping with the hope of eternal life. Heirs inherit. They don't earn. they receive a gift. And Jesus said that too in that great Good Shepherd chapter, John chapter 10. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. I'm with you always, he says. Literally all the days to the gathered goal of the age when everything comes together in Christ. That's an amazing thing to see in your life as a Christian, in my life as a Christian pastor, how people can hear the same sermon, but there are those who catch it, believe it, and trust in it. And Jesus is saying, my sheep hear my voice. No accident that years after she had grown up and come back to Minnesota, co-worker at the St. Paul companies in security, who remembered very well the terror of his own unbelief and the peace that comes with knowing Jesus as your Savior. He couldn't keep quiet for anybody, and she wanted to hear. So Don Child Sr. told her every chance he got, because that's what he did for everyone, to tell them that Jesus is their Savior too. By grace you're saved. That was his sermon text. By grace, not by works. All by the love of Christ. Had to be. Because none of us could be perfect as God demands. None of us could give the holiness that he requires. But God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's a blessing, a mystery that comes from God in Christ, and we don't understand it any more than we can understand why Jesus was doing what he was doing in John chapter 11. His disciples, following him all that time, were still mystified over and over again. He gets word that his friend Lazarus is sick. He waits a couple days. It's going to take about 2 days to get there. By the time he finally arrives, Lazarus has been in the grave 4 days. The critics have a hard time with that because it's too long to hide out and do this to try to, you know, reclaim Jesus' falling fortunes, as one commentator put it. Good grief. Look at the facts. Jesus said to his disciples, this sickness is not going to result in death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. We're still glorifying him today for waiting. Disciples didn't get it. Jesus says, I'm going to wake him up. He's sleeping. Well, if he's sleeping, he'll get better. And then he had to tell them plainly, well, he died. But I'm going to him. The two sisters, Mary and Martha, you may remember them from that wonderful time when Jesus dropped in with all his disciples. Luke that records that, and Martha goes to work, and she's so upset because Mary is just sitting there listening to Jesus, and she comes in and scolds Jesus. I mean, after all, how often do you have that many men come, and who else was with them? Lord, don't you care that my sisters left me to do all this work? I just love how Jesus answers in so much love and kindness. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset, cumbered by so many things, but Mary has chosen the better. It will not be taken from her. Mary chose to listen to the Lord, and Martha did too. Even by the time you get to John chapter 11 here, and then she's serving in chapter 12, Martha, she learned it. But what a beautiful spirit of service still. Jesus did not criticize that. It's just better to listen to God's word. That's what took over in Alberta. And it was through that work connection that I finally got to meet her. It was after the Lord called home Don's first wife, Sharon, from cancer, that like other men, Christian men who are conscientious, he asked his pastor if it was okay for him to date. I reminded him that You know, marriage is for this life. And then, yes, God bless you. Don and Alberta planned their wedding for sometime in June, but Don's lease was running out. Sometime in February. They wanted to do things God's way. They did not want to move in together before they were married. They saved the blessings of marriage till after the marriage. But that was their dilemma. What do we do? They came and asked. I said, it takes about 2 weeks to get a marriage license. That puts us at about Ash Wednesday. You can stay after the service. We'll have one of the elders stand as a witness and we'll marry you on Ash Wednesday. And then you can just have the big celebration for the family in June as you planned. Alberta, big eyes, you do that? Well, sure, God bless you. It was one of the first of many times where she just expressed so much amazement at Christ-like love, at His grace. It's why she became what some have called the congregation's grandma. But the Word was always first with her. That could go together. She started sitting in back by the recorder because we needed somebody to take care of that. It was the only way to keep the sermons at the time, and she wanted them to be passed on for others to enjoy, so fine. But there was a problem. You remember those little plastic things? They were called cassettes. I was so excited when those came out because I first learned to record sermons on my dad's reel-to-reel, and that was quite a chore. And those, wow, cassettes, that was something else. But the way they recorded was so irritating because I'm preaching and I'm just getting to that point when people are really glued to the sermon and there's something there that they need to hear, and then you hear an audible click from back there. Alberta adjusts. She turned the tape over before the sermon started, and then there was plenty of time, even for this preacher. And Don was sitting up in front. But that's how important it was. He wanted to hear, she wanted to help. So for as long as she could come to worship and Bible class, that's what she did. She wanted to hear the word of the Lord. When Jesus comes to live in someone's heart, you start to see what a beautiful Savior we have. That's what comes out of where Paul says that those who trust in Jesus become the righteousness of God. This is in 2 Corinthians 5. And I puzzled over that. What does it mean you become the righteousness of God? It's not you receive it. It's not that you reflect it. It's you become. Holiness is one of God's attributes, His characteristics, but you can't see it. It's His perfection. It's what He is. God is love. God is holiness. Righteousness is holiness that shows. He shows His beautiful righteousness in the hands and feet and loving hearts of His people. How many baby blankets did she make? How many little ones will be wrapped in future generations in those blankets? I mean, our family too, the gifts for the children. Just love the babies. That was Alberta, congregation's grandma. And as one of the men said recently, she also became one of the pillars of the congregation. That's how the men respected her. Just that awesome love that was shining in service that many couldn't see, but there it was. There it is. God remembers. He remembers not as works that earn, but as gratitude that proves and gives evidence of faith. It's just all over there. I think probably one of the reasons most of us love her so much, because she is, after all, forever alive in Christ. How quick she was. And always in kindness. She could humble you and encourage you in one sentence. in fellowship time refreshments back when we could do that after the service, she was touched by a sermon and she said, "Don't you ever retire." I said, "Alberta, someday I won't be able to see, you know. But pastor, you can still preach when you're blind, you know." I guess all things are possible with God, right? I love this one from Caring Bridge. Kathleen recorded, shared this gem with us there. "Alberta surely will be missed. When she first found out that she had cancer, she told me that she was prepared to go, and I said that I wasn't prepared to lose such a dear friend. And she said, 'You know, we can't leave here alive.'" Yeah, in a certain sense, that's true. But see, that's what Jesus is talking about in this mystery, where, yeah, the body dies, awaits the resurrection that Jesus has promised for all, but the soul lives on. Jesus said to the sisters, Martha in particular here, "I am." 20-some times John records this in Greek. It's ego I me. It's I am. The great I am is the one who was at the burning bush with Moses when Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me back to tell Pharaoh, 'Let my people go'? Tell them I am sent you. I am who I am, the one who actually exists." That's what the name Yahweh actually means, the one who exists. "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus told Martha. "Whoever believes in me will live, even if he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never perish." So yeah, the body dies, but the soul lives on. And that soul will never perish, trusting in Jesus. That's his promise. And God cannot lie. If you're ever wondering about that, take a piece of paper. I can even draw that. Just draw the vertical and the horizontal and look at what Jesus was willing to do for a world of sinners, to come and suffer and die. He volunteered. The Father didn't force this. He volunteered to die for all, to die for you and me. That's the beauty of it. Crossing over from death to life. A dear brother in the faith who was just going into his final journey some years ago, Chris Huber, he said, "You know, Pastor, it's not the dying that scares me. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm ready. But it's the process." But it was amazing for Alberta in that time. That peace that was there, the appreciation for the hospice care. Praise God for people like hospice workers who can be there and have attachments to people along the way. And that's a hard work. But how sweet the love of God in Christ, even providing workers in hospice time. And Alberta was one who kept requesting and kept receiving our Savior's body and blood as he promised in his Holy Supper, looking forward to meeting him in person. Miracle, can't explain it. I just believe what Jesus says. And so did she. But crossing over. See, these services are really more for those of us who are left here. And I wanted to make sure that you all have some peace about that, because we don't know how the Lord will call us home. He calls death asleep. And that was recorded long before Jesus came, centuries before, through the prophet Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den, the prophet. He said in the last chapter of Daniel, "Many who are sleeping in the dusty ground will awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who have insight will shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who bring many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever." Jesus said something very similar to that just after that comment about crossing over from death to life. Jesus said, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have practiced evil will rise to be condemned." Matthew 25, separating the sheep from the goats, Jesus shows there how in the judgment, good works are used as evidence of faith and the lack of good works as evidence of unbelief. The judgment is really an announcement of the verdict that Jesus already tells us what is. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. That's God's word. So crossing over, what will it be like? Growing up on the Oregon coast, that idea of ships coming into the harbor was very real. Time out in the boat with my father close to the, and my brothers close to the mouth of the Coos Bay Harbor, could hear the breakers crashing in from the ocean where the bay meets the ocean, and when the tide reversed and almost swamped the boat, that was terrifying. It was shortly after a friend of mine, a classmate, my dad had to go and identify his body because he was washed overboard in a fishing boat. You know, you can be so close to the shore, so close to the safe harbor, and the rocks and the shoals are all hidden by the crashing waves, and some of you have personal experience with that too. But that hymn, remember it? "When at last I near the shore, and the fearful breakers roar, 'twixt me and the peaceful rest, then while leaning on thy breast, may I hear thee say to me, 'Fear not, I will pilot thee.'" Jesus, you take over. You be the captain of my life and the captain of my soul. It's really no more complicated than that. It's like Jesus talking about the little babies, the little ones who believe in me. He says that twice, Matthew and in Mark. And he says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, whoever will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Growing up, I always thought that was just childlike faith. I guess that's how it was explained to me, but there was a famous preacher who also said it's kind of the way you would take a little child in your arms. That's a picture I want to leave with you today. It's on Caring Bridge. It's Alberta with one of the babies that she loved dearly. I don't know if Mom Abigail gained more, or if it was Alberta holding those babies when Joy and James were little. Joy. There's Joy. That was the joy of it, right, Joy? There was Alberta, a grandma, loving the babies. So there she is, ready to go home with Jesus and not really able to get up anymore. And there's the picture with that sweet look on Alberta's face of such peace, and little baby Josiah right next to her, looking into each other's eyes. Who is more blessed from that? The baby? Alberta? The parents? Us? And then they're sleeping. And Jesus says, "Receive the kingdom of God as you would take a little child in your arms." Remember that picture. Nothing would please Alberta more than for everyone here to take Jesus to your heart as easily as you would hold a little child. That's Jesus for you. The Savior of all. You're right. It's amazing grace. Amen.